Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Hello, let's get started. So I believe anyone should be able to be solo staking these days. My grandmother, she would have been 95 this year. She died 5 years ago, but even her should be able to do it. She was pretty good with Facebook, but along the way, she might be struggling. So let's check these out. Solo stakers are important. We've heard a few of these before. They're the strong force keeping the original Ethereum ethos alive, including decentralization, credible neutrality, censorship resistance. So we should get more of these guys, and we should be helping them when they need support. So the first one, where to start? Well, this is a good question. Discovering resources can be initially hard for some. I had some fun this week. I went on Google and I searched how to stake on Ethereum. And some of the resources that I got, some of the page that I got were quite not as I'd like. Like I got a bunch of centralized custodial services, which are not ideal to me. This struggle should be very easy to overcome eventually if you're persistent. The second one, I like this website called staking.directory. If you go there, you'll see that there's 55 different ways of staking. So, this can be quite overwhelming. The first question you'll have to ask yourself is, do you want to put 32 ETH into this? And even if your answer is yes, well, you'll still have a ton of options. So you'll have to kind of sift through some of these options, learn from them, maybe try a few of them on testnet if they have the possibility. If the answer is no, you don't have 32 ETH to put into this. There's a lot of other options too. So make your own research, see what fits your use case. I like this little box called Dapp node. We've seen it. It's great. You just plug it in, it works. But if you want to go to a different path, you want to build your own machine, you'll have to figure out the hardware. You'll have to figure out how much memory you want to use. You'll have to think about the CPU, what kind of SSD, what kind of bandwidth you'll have to provide this device with. We have good resources on this. I would like to improve the resources in terms of bandwidth because the numbers there are quite fuzzy. But this eventually should be easy to resolve as well. Now that you've got your machine, how are you supposed to install and configure everything? If you're a tech expert, you're familiar with the command line interface, this should be very easy for you. If you're not, I've got some great news. We've now got a good amount of easy-to-use tools with graphical user interfaces and automation. So you should be using those. I'm not going to be naming names here, but if you want, I can give you a few after the talk. Use those tools, they're much easier than anything else. So you've got your machine, you've plugged it in, it's installed and it's running. How do you know it's working? One of the challenges that many people are having is simply accessing your client logs. So getting to reach the log and trying to figure out like what this log message mean is quite challenging, unfortunately. I wish some of these devs would make it easier for us to reach. But eventually you'll figure out that your node is syncing and its sync is completed. I like this little known website called Beacon Chain. Just go there, put your validator keys in, you'll see if your validator is active and working properly. This one is interesting. This is probably the biggest challenge people will face. Hopefully not too many people will do. Networking can be quite challenging. So you plug your machine in your home internet and then suddenly you can't watch Netflix anymore, which is not great. Some people also are having issues like with their Zoom meeting. They can't connect with their colleague and meet them face to face. Networking can be quite challenging. These Ethereum clients, they're connecting with a bunch of peers, and some of the ISP around the world are giving you like the cheapest modem router combo out there. So they can be networking devices that are struggling. We don't have a good solution for this one. If you want to talk about this, please come and see me. We're trying to recommend some custom router, but just bridging that with the ISPs out there can be very difficult. Debugging, maintenance, and updates can also be challenging. Sometimes your machine will just stop overnight. Use some of this tool that I've been talking about, the tool that makes it easy to install and set up everything. They often have like sections on how to debug everything. Requirements are changing. You might need to upgrade your SSD. So there's a few proposals to try to keep the requirements low. We should push for those. If not, we have some good guides to help you maintain your machine and upgrade your devices. The economics around staking are still confusing. Whenever someone comes to me and asks me like, how much APR am I supposed to make with this? I tell them 3%, but I don't even know like how much I'm going to be making next year with my own validator. So. if you are staking, make sure that you have a withdrawal address if you want to get out eventually, and potentially like create a voluntary exit message so that you can send it. If there's something happening to you, maybe your family can send it to you in your name, and then you'll be able to recover the balance. That's it.
Thank you, Remy. So, any questions for Remy?
How do I know that my setup is secure and won't get hacked?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. The general good practices that you would use for running a server in any kind of context are the ones that you'd want to follow. I initially started writing a guide on some of these system administration good practices. I haven't completed it yet, but like installing a firewall helps, making sure your machine is kept up to date with all the system packages is also a good way to get there. Any other question?
Yep. Wait. We have a mic for that.
So cool. So I'm based in a country that has very high restrictions on the network, like something similar to like the Great Firewall of China. And like syncing and things like that can be a problem for me. Do you guys have any recommendations on like whether you would use like a VPN, some open source VPN, or set up your own maybe? Like, is this something you see at all?
That's a good question. We haven't had many users facing this issue, but using a VPN would essentially be the way to go. Setting up a VPN can be challenging if you're not a tech expert, but maybe there's not that many like commercial VPN offerings that are good because you have to open ports and then they don't like having people using a bunch of these PTP connections on these VPN, but like you can buy a cheap VPS and then set up your own. If you need help, we can help you with that one.
We have time for one more quick question, if somebody wants. Oh, we have one.
Hi, are there any clients that are misrecommended for beginners?
Can you repeat, please?
Are there any clients that are most recommended for beginners?
For what?
Beginners.
Beginners. I think all the clients are pretty good. Installing them can be a challenge, but like you should be really using some of these tools that are making this very easy to install. If you want to talk with me afterwards, I can give you a few suggestions for the tooling around it. Thank you.
Hey. Thank you, Remy. Please welcome to the stage.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.